Yes, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. We thank you, Lord, that we can come before you. We can confess our sins and know that you will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, without exception, that is how we come before you tonight, humbled, Lord, thankful, grateful, and longing, Lord, to know more about you. And so, Father, thank you that you inhabit, Holy Spirit, you inhabit the praises of your people. And now, Holy Spirit, you're going to teach us here momentarily. And Lord, we ask that we be ready to receive. Give us spiritual ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, good evening. Hey, it's beginning to look a lot like
Christmas.
Very good. Y'all rock. That's awesome. Woohoo, you're hired. No. Hey, listen, I got a couple of announcements for you. First of all, the youth are going to have an ugly Christmas sweater party. December 18th. At 6 to 8:30, and they're going to have ugly Christmas sweater party, but it's also a happy birthday. Jesus is going to have a happy birthday cake to Jesus. They're going to have fun. They're going to have pizza. They're going to have games. They're going to have a little Bible teaching. You want your kids to go to that. You want the youth. The last youth night that they had, the kids all had a blast, and they learned about Jesus. How about that? That's always good. So if you have some youth, hey, maybe you got some kids in your neighborhood. Just kidnap them and bring them. You can apologize later. I'm joking. Please don't do that. But you can definitely invite whomever you wish. It's a great time had by all. Also, Access. That's our young adults, 18 and up group. They meet this Friday at Eddie and Cheyenne's house at 6 p.m. But this will be the last one until January 15th. Is that correct? Am I right? Is Access meeting this Friday?
Yes.
I tried to get a hold of Vanessa, but she didn't want to talk to me. So, what's that? The location may be changing. But listen, young adults, if you're 18 or up and 18 young, this young adults, Get connected. I hear they have an awesome time in God's Word, an awesome time of fellowship. I hear the food is amazing, and I'm a little jealous, but that's all right. But anyways, it may change, but listen, just contact the church or find out. But they're going to take a break after this Friday, and they won't be back until January 15th. So keep that in mind. This may be your last chance to be young at heart. Anyways, I'm joking. A couple other things, sharing Jesus without fear. Listen, I teach a class. I've been teaching it now since, gosh, I don't even know, maybe 25 years, 20 years, at least 20 years I've been teaching this class. It is powerful. It is the easiest way to share your faith. It removes argument. It removes you, actually. It removes you, and it's purely God's Word and the Holy Spirit, and you don't have to memorize anything. And that's the amazing thing. Yet it's purely God's. Anyways, listen, sign up. We're going to do it December 13th. That's after Sunday service at 1 o'clock. And then January 3rd, after second service at 1 o'clock. It's just two classes. With two classes, you'll be ready to share your faith in the easiest way, in the least confrontational. It takes all the fear out of sharing your faith. You want to take this class. And the reason why we do it at 1, because we finish at 12:15. That gives you 45 minutes to run down to Taco Bell or something, grab some Munchables. You can eat during the class. That I allow that. That's not a big deal. But you want to do that anyway. So that's December 13th and January 3rd. But you have to sign up because I need to know how many we're going to have so I know what room to do the class in. Also, a lot of people have been asking me, hey, when are you getting those window stickers? We got 150 of them. So if you want to put woohoo, 150. Don't put all of them on one car. That'd be weird. Okay. But if you want to, listen, mainly it's an opportunity for you to represent Jesus Christ. And I can tell you story after story of people who actually ended up coming to church because of Those window stickers. All right. So if you'd like a window sticker, we have them now in the bookstore, and hopefully we run out. I would love that. I love, you know, Jennifer and I, we love running down the street, and it's like, hey, look at that. Who is that? I don't know. We need to find out who that is. It's super cool. You pull into Walmart, and there's three HBC stickers in the same. I'm like, whoa, go, way to go, church. Anyways, I love it. And here's the other thing. If you're like me and your right foot's not saved, it kind of makes you a little more cautious on how you drive. I've actually had people say, I won't put one on my car because of the way I drive. Well, you know, you need to put one on so that you get your driving right. I got one more thing to share with you, and this is more from my heart. Like I said before, we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for the Supreme Court and what's going to happen. Listen, we're not out. It's not over with. I don't care what the mainstream media says. Biden's really not the president-elect. He's not. Not until they get all this voting stuff straightened out. Now, we need to pray for our Supreme Court. And listen, if you don't believe me, here you go. How about this? YouTube today said that any more videos that say anything about a fraud in an election, they're going to remove. What happened to our First Amendment right? Listen, there's flat earthers on there that say the earth is flat. Theirs gets left on there. There's people who say that the landing on the moon wasn't real. That's still on there. You have people who say that aliens, you know, came and abducted their grandma and now she cooks better than ever. That's still on there. Listen, they have all that stuff. They have all this Russian collusion, all that. But if you go against the left, they're going to remove. They've already been censoring us. So imagine this. Listen, our videos, HBC, this video, is being streamed to YouTube. How long before they say, no, 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 you cannot talk about the flood. That's not real. You can't talk about Jesus resurrecting. That's not real. That's the next step, folks. I promise you. Listen, they're already saying in California, you cannot sing in church. You know, and you've seen like restaurant owners. I don't know. You've probably seen all this stuff. Restaurant owners, they put their people outside. They're closed down. But here comes a movie studio and they can have their people. Same parking lot. Listen, the left, I'm sorry. If you're on the left, I feel sorry for you. I really do, because you are swallowing poison, hook, line, and sinker. Okay? And I'll just tell you, I'm not saying be Republican. I'm just saying, you know what? The Democratic Party isn't what the Democratic Party used to be. You know, I'd take a Bill Clinton, not Hillary. But I would take, listen, when he was in office, listen, he would be rejected today. He really would. He would be rejected by the standards today. And we, folks, if the Supreme Court isn't able to make a change, a right change, we will definitely be seeing some church persecution really quick. I'd be surprised if it's 2 months before they're taking me to jail because I refuse to shut the church or anybody else. And listen, if you don't think it's coming, you mark. So here's what we got to do. Pray. Pray. Prayer works, right? Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity to pray with my brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray your will be done. Either way, Lord, if this nation needs to crumble and our rights need to be taken and we get arrested and we can be a witness that we will not deny the name of Jesus Christ, so be it. Whatever your will is, but Lord, that doesn't mean we cannot pray and we cannot ask that you would intervene for what is right and true. And Lord, I don't care what the mainstream media says. Truth is truth. And so, Father, we thank you. And now, Lord, as we are going to prepare our hearts for the word, may you also open our minds, open our hearts to truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here's what I did. I have a whole year mapped out this next year, even the last few months, of allowing our leadership, some of the leadership to come up and teach. Does two things. Number one, it allows me to work on some other things, but also so you would hear the heart of the leadership of HBC. So I have a whole year of guys in, that are deacons that are going to be teaching. And tonight we're going to have Howard Sisson come up. And yeah, where's he at? I know he's over here somewhere. Oh, there he is. I have my glasses on. So anyways, Howard's going to give us the word. And man, I'll tell you, he and his bride have been in a battle the last couple of months. And so, you know, he's here. He's going to bring us the word. So take it home, brother.
Amen. Amen. Well, gee, I thought I was going to have to kind of slow down to make my message last long. But thank you, Pastor. Now I can just go at normal speed. So anyway, I also have an announcement that I wanted to put out, is that I'm part of the landscaping ministry, and with my health issues and so forth lately, I haven't really been able to take care of things. So I'm really asking if anybody would like to help out. Let me know. It's pretty easy. It's, you know, we're just pruning shrubs, bushes, leaves, and picking up stuff and things of that nature. So it's pretty easy. So with that, thank you. Yep, go for it. And then that takes away one of my things here already. So yeah, go ahead, hand out the Bibles. So as Pastor said, I'm one of your deacons here. I feel very blessed to bring you this God-inspired message tonight. I'm going to open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that your words will speak to me and those listening tonight, that you would strengthen, enrich us, uplift us, and give us hope through your word that encourages. And with these uncertain times ahead, I pray that if anyone's struggling here and needs comfort, that you would be here to give them a fresh outpouring of your spirit by your words and love, and they'll be blessed and comforted by you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. It is finished. Amen. So let me start with 2 Corinthians. Oops, sorry. I have this habit of when I'm up, never mind. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Yes, God, for I can do nothing without you. I need you totally for this message tonight. All power and glory belongs to you, Jesus. Before we start tonight, I thought I'd give you a little something about my family history. My adventures in life started in Washington State, born, raised, worked, and retired from. And all of mine and Carolee's, my bride's family, are still there. But our families weren't always from Washington State. Like everyone else, we can trace some of our roots back to different areas. Mine's Lawrence, Kansas. Carolee's family immigrated from Norway and Scotland via Ellis Island in the 1900s. But my great-greats came across on the Oregon Trail in the 1860s from Kansas and settled in Washington. I always thought, Washington? You could have went to California. But anyway, as they passed through some of this countryside, I'll bet you they never thought of living here, or their relatives would. Can you imagine how hard the travel was? Probably something like many of the apostles' journeys. On foot, by animal, hot, dusty, hard to travel, hard on the sandals or the shoes, clothes, with creepy crawlers, dirt and rocks, you call the road or the ground. Not much to drink, and probably like hard breads and such. Well, fast forward to my distant relatives that were on the Oregon Trail once upon a time. Surprise! One of you found a way to come and live here. And as my father-in-law would say, you've been out in the sun too long. But this land has beautiful vistas, wonderful and delightful sunrises and sunsets. God's timing is always perfect for us, and he knows what's best for us. He has a plan and a purpose for us because we are his. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. For God knows what's best for me and you when we listen, follow, and act on. His blessings will pour out on you. Tonight's study is called Running Towards the Prize of Jesus. Simple but powerful phrase. Running towards the prize of Jesus. What does that mean to you? Let's pray again. I'm just going to pray one more time so I can get going here. Okay, Father, I pray the Holy Spirit to be here. Speak through me. Let your words be my words. Let me reach those that need reaching, for we all need to be reached. Amen. And I was going to say, now ushers pass out Bibles, but you already did that. Okay, so I'm going to start. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not many verses, but pretty powerful stuff. And I'll read it. Duh. Say what? Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Got it? Cool. Okay, I'm going to start. Not that I have already obtained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Amen. So again, running towards the prize of Jesus. I'll be direct here. Are you running in this race? Do you know about your prize? If you're in this race, then where are you? Are you at the starting line? Waiting to start? Are you at midpoint? Turning the corner, maybe? Or heading towards the finish line? Or are you just sitting at the sideline watching? What are you waiting for? Jesus is calling. He wants to have a relationship with you. Let me read in Psalms 100, verse 3. And I have a lot of verses tonight. Know that the Lord, He is God. He is He who has made us. Not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Jesus wants us to run the race with endurance, to finish the race, no matter how hard it might be at times. The enemy has tried to put some obstacles in that path of the race this year. 2020 has been a year of change. Probably more change this year than ever. As Pastor was talking about, there's so much. We can see these events are heading or leading up to the final countdown of His return. Let's look at some of these sensitive issues. Let's start with the COVID virus, wearing masks, social distancing, schools, businesses, restaurants closed, and then the big news, out of toilet paper? Really? What's that all about? But you know, we were lacking a lot of other things too. Now we face, as we go forward in 2021, do we do the vaccine or we don't do the vaccine? Another thing which happened is lowest gas prices in decades. That's nice. Social unrest all over America. Not nice. Democrat versus Republican. Bitterness. Bitterness towards each other. No end in sight. Not nice. An election of a president? Trump or Biden? We don't know. More social and civil unrest around the world. And it's all around the world when you really look at it. It's not just here in the States, it's everywhere. I'll read from the book of Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How's your faith through all this? Are you trusting and relying on Jesus? Are you trying to do it yourself? That's what the evil one wants. He wants you to try to figure this all out. Running and not relying on Jesus. Running towards the prize of Jesus. In Psalms 119, verse 105, let your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Does this look like end times to you? It does to me. Time is growing short, church. Jesus is calling. He's calling all of us today. He is our prize. Our topic again is running towards the prize of Jesus. I believe Paul would be seeing this today as he did in his day. Speaking of Paul, let's take a quick look at the author and the writer of Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Paul, can you think of anyone you'd rather have as a teacher other than Paul? Well, except for Jesus, who is the great teacher. Jesus teaches us daily if we study his word and listen. A quote of C.S. Lewis, experience the most brutal of teachers, but you learn. My God, do you learn? Back to Paul. He was struck down on the road to Damascus, blinded and healed by Jesus to get his attention. Paul experienced pretty much everything by following Jesus as his King and Savior. He learned from Jesus' teaching that we have to give the gospel out to all nations and people. Mark 16, 15. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's what we need to be doing. More on Paul. He was imprisoned, stoned, beaten, shipwrecked, bitten by a snake, but he was led by the Holy Spirit. Paul was in a race. He was going to finish that race, and nothing was going to stop him. It was the most important race of his life. He just wanted our Lord to say to him at the end, well done, good and faithful servant. What about you? Isn't that something you want to hear too? Well done, good and faithful servant. I know for myself that when God helped me put together this message, I had to think, did I do enough? I know it's not about works, but did I study enough? Did I write all that God wanted me to write and say? Will people understand how important this is? And that's what, when I was doing this, I had this card that we got one of the times when we had our one of our Wednesdays or something. But I have that in my front. It says, be still, do not worry. He's got this. You know, that's the evil one trying to tell me, no, you don't have this. But I did. I trusted him, and he gave me this message. He put it together. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father, my Father, in heaven. Do you see yourself in the same race? Are you keeping the faith? Are you pressing towards the prize? Jesus wanted Paul and wants all of us to run the race, to spread the good news to every nation and people, especially with all the civil unrest. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't this what Pastor Randy talks about in his messages? To go out and be disciples, not just to a few, but to everyone that will listen to you about the good news of Jesus Christ. Matthew 10:27. Whatever I tell in you in the dark, speak in the light, and when you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Running towards the prize of Jesus. Don't be afraid. God's got this with you. Let him speak to your heart. You listen and respond. Trust the Holy Spirit. Have faith in him, and he will guide your path. Running towards the prize of Jesus. Okay, back to Paul, who was at that time an older man, who was accompanied by Timothy. And Timothy is the younger man. So they're yoked together, but I'd like to think of them as the young student and the old learned teacher. One scholar put it best as, it is a union of springtime and autumn, of enthusiasm and experience, of impulse and wisdom, of tender hope and quiet assurance. Doesn't this remind you of like raising kids, or children, sorry, going to school or your first job? You know, there had to be many times when Paul shook his, and this is just my own interpretation, when he shook his head at Timothy when he was training and they were talking and corrected and came alongside Timothy, being that younger man. And Timothy, who also had the Holy Spirit, was his teacher too. I like what Mark Twain described humor, which I have to think entered Paul's mind now and then. Humor is one of mankind's greatest blessings. And I'll bet Paul had to say to Timothy at times, okay, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Maybe not, but I'd like to think he did that. Both are described as bondservants of Jesus Christ. They both love their master, Jesus. Are you a bondservant of Jesus? Are you listening and waiting on him? Now back to Paul. In this letter, Paul is addressing all the saints in Philippi to the elders and the deacons. Remember, running towards the prize of Jesus. Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, which few who find it. Okay, now that I've done the little history lesson, which you probably all knew anyway, let's look at verse 12 and get a feel of what Paul is writing here and saying to us. Philippians 3:12. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Paul wrote with such spiritual maturity and even a purity. I got also, as I was reading through these many scriptures, I got a feeling that through his writings, that Paul was a sporting type of man. He liked games or events of the day. This will explain his many athletic references, such as 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in a way that you will obtain it. 2 Corinthians 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. This could refer to track, or is it running? To perseverance. To have trained to finish the race. To have the faith to do so. We all train for something. How's your athletic ability in Jesus? Are you training to be his warrior? This reminds me of my time in the golf course business. I retired from golf course maintenance, which I was the superintendent or the grounds manager. A great many times over those 45 years, we had yearly golf tournaments, big and small. We always had to put our best foot forward, because if the people golfing had a good time and enjoyed the golf course, they would probably book the tournament for the next year. This meant revenue that we could count on in the budget. So we generally had a lot of preparation leading up to that date, such as fairways looking their best, divots filled with sand and grass seed, and nicely striped. Greens had to be in peak shape. Good color, which was more of us, because we found that people would golf if the greens were pink. It didn't matter to them. But it had to be hard, smooth, and fast. They could care less if it was a brilliant green. They just wanted smooth and fast greens. So you get the picture here. Preparation was the key. We didn't just do this the day of the tournament. It was weeks ahead of time. We had to prepare and get ready and get ready and get ready. And so it'd be like today, if with me giving this message, if I came up here and went, oh man, I haven't done anything yet. Too late. You got to be preparing to get to this point. But with this, back to the golf course. Each year we had to start the season in March up in Washington. So we had to train and teach new seasonal staff of 6 and get the regular staff of 10 up to speed. So my assistants and myself would put together a plan to best get this accomplished. It wasn't easy, for everyone has different learning skills. Reminds me of a time I interviewed one young man, and I asked him, if I said, have you ever mowed grass before? He goes, yeah. And I said, where? Well, I had to mow my dad's lawn. Lot different. So anyway, we tried to instill in them how important it was to do the job correctly. Don't worry about your coworkers and visiting and what they're doing. And then the last thing, be on time. When you have golfers waiting to hit the tee, you got to be on time. You got to get in front of them. We had a few surprises over the years, but generally it worked out. And we had a great many successful tournaments. So this reminds me of how God wants to train us up. Baby steps at first, more solid food later as we grow, and to watch us blossom into mature believers. So we can run the race, persevere, and receive the prize. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:26, therefore I run this, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Again, this speaks of running to win with faith and certainty. So he's fighting on. He's not with false hope, for he knows that his prize is that of Jesus Christ. Do you have that same faith and hope as Paul? Do you know he's your prize? 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I discipline my body, I bring it into subjection. Excuse me. Lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. Not to be disqualified, but I know what I want you to talk about, Jesus says. This talk of discipline, to know God's word, so that when I speak and you speak with authority about his word, and to do not disqualify ourselves. Are you training to know God's word? What's your motivation? Jesus or other things? Paul continued that he hadn't attained yet, and by counting of those things or imperfections of the past, which drives him, us to do better. We can always be dissatisfied with our performance. We can always do that. Paul also stated, do not count what I've done, but count on what I have to do. My bride and myself have had some recent health issues, and we've had to spend many, many, many hours together. But God has strengthened our marriage, for his love and grace is sufficient. Through this time of testing, God has revealed to us, wait and trust in him. Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They walk and not faint. You know, and through all our and trials and tribulations of sickness and things that we've been dealing with, we had to step away from some things that we really loved here at this church. But like Pastor always tells us, we have seasons. We have different seasons that we do different things. The Lord wants to train us in so many different areas. And so that, yes, we may have stepped away from one ministry, but now we're in a new, and we're blessed with that, and we're thankful for that, and we can't wait to get started. It's going to be awesome. So thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Imperfection drives us on. Sometimes we as Christians like to compare ourselves with other Christians. Well, I'm not as bad as them. Well, their house sure is a lot bigger and nicer than ours. Well, they drive a Tesla and mine's gas. They didn't know that verse. Well, I did. Puffing ourselves up to think we're better. Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged. Here's a couple of parables from the Bible as what Jesus said. And I'm going to paraphrase here a little bit just to speed up. Luke 18:18-23. Think of the rich young ruler who asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, sell all you own, give to the poor, and follow me. The rich ruler went away sad because he had much. And then Luke 10:38-41. Martha complains to Jesus that she's doing all the work while Mary sat at his feet and did nothing. Jesus answered her that she worried and was troubled about many things, but Mary has chosen the good part. What do we need to say no to? So you can do the things that Jesus wants you to do, as he stated to Martha, chose me, chose the good parts. Running towards the prize of Jesus. Our next verse, Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Are we heading in the right direction? On the right road? Does this road lead to Jesus or something else? I've got a quick, funny kind of story of the wrong direction here. A couple years ago, a fellow brother and I were on a fact-finding trip to Ensenada, Mexico, for a possible youth trip, mission trip. Everything went really good until we're heading back home to the States. And you know, you have to go in and out of Tijuana to get on and off I-5. Well, I'm driving, and Brent's talking as we go, and oops, we missed the turn. And I said to Brent after about 5 minutes of driving, this isn't the way we came in. It looks different. I believe we're heading straight into Tijuana. Brent looks around and says, this isn't good, Howard. We're heading into the part of Tijuana that a couple of scrawny boys from Bullhead shouldn't go in. Get us the heck out of here now. So Howard did a bat turn in the middle of the street with tires squealing and papers flying so we could turn around and hightail it out of there. And I found the turn that I'd missed, and we made it back to the States. Praise God. The moral of the story, know the direction you're heading, for it's way too easy to get off track when you take your eyes off the road. Know your path. Direction, direction, direction. Know your direction. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and we should walk in them. Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. And we are all work of your hand. Paul was focused on only one thing, the same as we all should be. Don't let those things behind, or things that you have left behind, distract you. Press on for the pursuit of the prize, and that is Jesus Christ. Luke 9:26. But Jesus said to him, knowing no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And this is what happened to Lot's wife when she looked back in Genesis 19:26. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Running towards the prize of Jesus. Being obedient to God. Are we worthy of the walk? God loves us. He's our motivator. He loves us. We as followers of Christ, we must not let ourselves to think that we have obtained perfection. For there was only one that was perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So that whether I come and see you, and or if I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the spirit of the gospel. Charles Spurgeon wrote, O brethren, be great believers. Little faith will bring your souls to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to you. True. Paul is pressing on here. He hasn't arrived. There's only one option to him, which should be the same for us today. No turning back. Keep going. Running towards the prize of Jesus. Paul described his very effort and towards the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. In our last verse, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Paul stated, Jesus Christ had laid hold of him. Throughout these three verses, he kept that in mind. He didn't want you or me to forget this. Jesus laid hold of him, or of me, or of you. He has laid hold of us. Sometimes we as Christians have that idea that, well, Jesus got a hold of me. Well, that's good now. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Whoopee! And we can look at it passive. But he wants us to be active in our walk, pressing towards the prize. Christ got a hold of me, and I need to get a hold of Christ daily. I need his word. I need his word. I need his direction. Especially in today, you can get so lost so quick. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, and that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Newness! Praise God! Hallelujah! Newness! Old things have passed away. We have newness. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 and 6. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with much assurance. And by putting on Christ, we now have a completely new life. Christ is now our life. Amen? Amen. So as we jog or sprint towards the finish line, let us remember, Jesus wants us to be prepared. He has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us his word. And he's given us each other, the assembly. Isn't it nice that we're here? I like what Pastor said. We're not closing the doors anymore. We're here. This is what we need. We need fellowship. Hebrews 10:24-25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love, good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in a manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. And that day is approaching. Remember, we're in a spiritual battle. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he really wants to do that now. I'm going to be reading, the whole thing of Ephesians 6:10-20. The armor of God. So you can turn there if you'd like. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, or may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and that's so evident, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you're able to quench those fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and that for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. That is it. I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that's what I'm talking about here. Speak boldly as you ought to speak. Run the race towards the prize of Jesus. Let that be your goal. He will equip you. He's given you all this that's your tools. The word. Prayer. Prayer is so important. As Pastor just said, we need to pray for this nation. We need a revival. It's so sad to see what's going on out there. Anyway, get off subject. So church, where are you in this race? If you're not in the race, you can make that decision tonight. Each of us needs to make that choice and say yes to Jesus tonight, today. Press on towards the prize. So pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Isn't that awesome? True righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. And then Deuteronomy 13:3. You shall not listen to the words of the prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. That's what I'm talking about. Running on towards the prize of Jesus. A lot of verses to think on, meditate with, and pray on in your quest for that prize. But let us all be found worthy for that prize of Jesus. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, you can. You can do all things. Christ that strengthens you. In 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and for instructions in righteousness, instructions, and that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good works, because he wants you to succeed. He's given you all of this. He's given you so much, and it's right here. It's I don't have a Bible, but it's right here. Use it. Become his warrior. And last, Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. We can't save ourselves. We're lost. And if we try to save ourselves, how quickly we fail with that. We have to have God as our back. He is our back. He is our rock. He is our fortress. So are you pressing on? Are you following him? Are you doing all he's calling you to do? Please don't sit back. Time is growing shorter. Become that light that Jesus wants all of us to be, shining out his light into this dark world. Run the race, brothers and sisters. Run the race. John 1:12. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Isn't that cool? We become children of God. Children of God. Think about that one. In Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So in closing, I know I'm a little bit short, but anyway. Sorry. I pray that you've come away anew and ready to run. Run the race for Jesus. And I want you to know that Jesus went to the cross and died for you and me when we place our faith, our trust in the risen God and confess our sins and live for Christ. He is faithful to forgive us because he loves us. Can you imagine? He loves us. Do we deserve that? Heck no. But he loves us. Jesus paid it all. Period. It is finished. So I pray now that if you made that decision tonight for the first time to surrender and ask Jesus into your heart and get into this race called Jesus Christ, the prize, let this be your first night of your new life or a recommitment with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you're here in the sanctuary, find myself or one of the other deacons, we can pray with you about your commitment to Jesus Christ. And if you're online, just pray and ask Jesus into your heart. And yes, it's that simple. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that a cool verse? Whoever shall call upon him shall be saved. So that, let me close in prayer. I know we were going to do another song, but I think I've kind of cut it short here. So let me close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this message. I pray this spoke to many in some way. Oh, thanks, guys. I pray at this time draws shorter, that you become bold for Christ, and that you want to go shout it from the mountaintops that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And a Merry Christmas to everyone, too. So thank you, and let's all stand for one last song.